Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you after a familiar 5-4 score and loss for the Texas Rangers on a Saturday night, a game that they once led 4-2. It looked promising at one point. It really did. But the Rangers dropped this one thanks to a walk-off single from Randy Arozarena. Is that what we're calling it? I think it got hit so hard. Well, 90 miles an hour off the bat. I think they call it a single. Look, I'm going to get into this in a little bit. I think it's a play Josh Schmidt has to be able to get in front of. Whether you glove it cleanly or not, have to be able to get in front of it. That's the entire reason that the Rangers are in that spot with infield in. I digress. I got to get onto that a little bit later on. But let's open up the show. Of course, here at Right on Rangers, we cover everything sports. But we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Appreciate all y'all tuning in live tonight and checking out Right on Rangers for all of your Texas Rangers post-game, in-game content. Appreciate you guys. Let's go ahead and get into it. So let's talk about that Josh Schmidt moment in the field. Definitely a baseball that is going to be a tough play. Not sure they even get Robles if that ball is deflected or not. So let's say Josh Schmidt does get in front. The ball bounces right in front of him. Not really sure that they even get him at home plate. It is a play that you'd like to see be made. I definitely feel like you have a lot of possibilities there. If Josh Schmidt is able to glove that cleanly, you very well might get some kind of double play ball there, at least get out of the inning. Maybe go on to extras. I don't know. At this point, I absolutely feel like the breaks just did not go the Rangers' way tonight. It's one of those seasons. I mean, let's just be real. It is one of those seasons with the Rangers. I really think that this game was there for the Rangers taking. We're going to talk through some of the key moments in it, go through the box score, go through some of the players of the game on the Rangers' side. We'll talk a little Max Scherzer. We'll talk Jack Leiter. Meanwhile, put all of your comments in the chat. We'll get to it eventually. What's up to all my people on TikTok? I'll start scrolling through some of the comments here as well. Thank you for tuning in live tonight. Appreciate you guys. Yeah, big game, James. Another great game to beat a Mariners fan, man. Oof. That stadium, I got to give the Mariners fans credit. They were pretty live tonight. That was a great crowd tonight. A great crowd. Past two nights. Felt like Thursday was pretty weak. I know it's tough. You know, you got a day game, or excuse me, a weekday game, I should say. It's tough. But I will say this, that was a lit environment tonight, and it's fun. That's what baseball is all about, having those kinds of atmospheres late in the season. You know what? The Mariners, I think, still have a small chance of making it to the postseason. A lot has to go right. It's really not up to them at this point. Yeah, they can win some games here, but they're going to need the Astros. They're going to need some of the wild card teams to drop some in order to make it. I don't know if they're going to be able to. Don't know if they have enough firepower. Don't know if they have enough gas to get it done. Like I said, it's going to take something special, no doubt, in order for the Mariners to make it. But you just got to win the game in front of you, and that's what the Mariners have done. The past couple of nights, they ensure the series split. Rangers can go ahead and get the series split tomorrow with the win. And that would be nice for the Rangers at this point. You just don't want to keep losing series. Let's split. Let's win. Let's quit dropping series. We've done plenty of that since the All-Star break. You just want to end on some positives here. I think that would be the goal. I've said that so many times over the past several lives. That's got to be the goal, is just winning a game at a time, a series at a time. Positive strides, all those things. You want to see some fun moments down the stretch. I think the Rangers have provided those over the course of the month of August and in September. Would have been nice to get both of these games. It was there for the taking. The Rangers could easily be up 3-0 in this series of 4. Easily could be up 3-0. They haven't been able to come through late. And we're going to talk through everything, but let me go through Max Scherzer tonight. Let me go through Scherz. Talk a little Scherz, just give you my honest takes here. Natalie says, I thought Max and Jack both threw well tonight. Look, I walk away with a slightly different view of things. And look, it's good to see Max Scherzer on MLB homepage right now. You pull up MLB.com, Scherzer is right there. And look, Max is auditioning for next year. That's all this is right now. Max is auditioning for next year. The Rangers, out of the goodness of their heart, I don't feel like they've really gotten top peak performance out of Max, but out of the goodness of their hearts, the Rangers are continuing to let Max Scherzer pitch this season. I think they easily could have said to Max, dude, you're not re-signing with us. We're probably not re-signing you. We're going to go ahead and give a start to somebody else that we want to take a look at. And I think that would have been a very reasonable move for the Rangers to make, by the way. I don't think they owe Max Scherzer anything. They've paid him well. I know New York took on most of the salary, but the Rangers have been paying Max Scherzer. I don't think the Rangers owe Max Scherzer anything. It's not like this is a longtime dude that's been with the club forever. Has he been a good teammate and all that? Absolutely. But the Rangers are doing him a favor by letting him start these games. This isn't playoff moments for the Rangers. They easily could have had Owen White start this game, and it really wouldn't have made a difference. And for me, seeing Max out there tonight, were there flashes? Yes, there always are flashes with Max. There's always flashes with him. But the stat line, 4 innings, 7 base runners, 2 earned runs. Look, the ERA in a game like that is not great. That ERA is, 4.5 or 5? If we're just looking at a 9-game outing and stretching out those numbers over 9 innings, it's not great. I was not super pumped about the Scherzer start tonight, just looking at it collectively after the game's over, but also watching in moment. I'm not sitting there like, yeah, pumped, psyched. Yes, this is awesome. Scherzer throwing great. If anything, I'm like, kind of meh, kind of ho-hum. Kind of the same thing I've been seeing all season long from Max. And so, look, Max definitely played a role in the 2023 World Series. He played a role. How big was it? That's debatable, but he contributed. And we do need to be grateful to him for what he did contribute in that 2023 run. 2024 has not been great. The ERA is not terrible, 3.95. But Max Scherzer largely has not been available. You have to be available in this game. It's a 162-game season. You have to be available. That has not been an adjective that you could use to describe Max at this point. I left tonight's start with Max feeling very much like I'm going to be okay if he goes somewhere else. I'm not going to be missing Max Scherzer. It's nothing personal. It's not any disrespect against him. I'm just not going to miss dealing with a guy that at this point in his career appears to be somewhat injury-prone and past his prime. And that's okay. Max is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Fame pitcher, but we can't pay him for what he was. We've got to pay him for what he is right now. And what he is right now is a good 3-4. That is what Max is right now. He is a good, probably number 3 starter, possibly number 4 starter, depending on how he's going. So I don't walk away from tonight feeling awesome about Max. If anything, I feel good that the Rangers are most likely going to be moving on from him. Now let's talk about Leiter. Jack Leiter, I almost get an identical feeling from. Jack Leiter tonight, I feel like almost every Leiter start, you're going to get gaslit at some point. I mean, let me explain. Every single time Jack Leiter pitches, anything remotely positive that he does, everybody lights up about. He strikes out somebody in the Mariners lineup that's pretty good. He's making positive strides. It's awesome. He is great. He's improving. Jack Leiter came into this ballgame and immediately gave up the lead. Let's be real about what happened tonight. Jack Leiter came into this ballgame with a 4-2 lead and immediately gave it up. And yes, there were 6 strikeouts tonight. But again, this to me is a mediocre start from Leiter. The 6 strikeouts are great. I'm glad he's missing some bats. And I know maybe it's a tough spot for him coming into the middle relief. Look, I'm not saying this was the most horrible outing for Leiter ever. I don't want you to get it twisted. But what I am saying is, can we stop pretending? Can we stop pretending that this was a phenomenal, amazing, positive, really awesome step forward in the Jack Leiter saga? This is ho-hum, average, mediocre to me. And look, we can keep on pointing to the positives, like when he strikes out Julio Rodriguez or when he strikes out another big name guy, it's great. But until he actually throws up a zero in an outing or even a one, I'm going to be kind of a little bit suspect on Jack Leiter. Until he can give us that quality outing, five innings, one earned run, four innings, no earned runs. I'm not sitting here trying to find every single positive in Jack Leiter starts. I think I made it clear how I feel about Jack Leiter. Dude is a first round, number two overall pick. And we are getting pumped every time he strikes somebody out. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I just get tired of the Jack Leiter gaslighting. And I get it. There's some apologists out there that are never going to quit. Every single little thing that he does that's positive in a start must mean that he is well on his way to becoming an ace in this league. I'm not there. I'm just not there with Jack Leiter. Please prove me wrong. And I'm not even going to care to come on here and be like, look, I had it wrong. I was telling y'all to pump the brakes, and he was ended up being a huge ace in this league. And I had it wrong the entire time. I don't think that that's what I'm going to be saying. I think Jack Leiter is going to probably top out at maybe a number two, maybe a number three starter, high end. And apparently we've been told that's exactly what he was supposed to be this whole time, right? He was supposed to be a number three starter. The Rangers drafted him with that in mind. What? Again, I know some of y'all have seen this reaction out of me. I just don't understand how anyone could defend the Rangers trying to draft Jack Leiter as a number three starter. Look, I don't think Jack Leiter is a number one in this league, and I'm not sure he ever will be. And if he becomes a really good number three, good for him. But let's not pretend that that wasn't a massive whiff. Now, Kumar Rocker, it looks like the Rangers got the Kumar Rocker draft pick correct. That kind of stuff plays and is filthy. That Kumar Rocker slider pitch is filthy. I think they got Leiter right. But excuse me, I think they got Rocker right. But Leiter, I don't know. I think at this point with Leiter, to be trying to defend his progress up to this point with, well, we drafted him with number three starter in mind. Dude, why burn a number two draft pick on a number three starter? I'm sorry. Number three, that was the ceiling that you had on Jack Leiter when you drafted him number two overall in 2021? I'm sorry, y'all. I could go on about that for just about forever. I think that is a ridiculous take that you tried to draft Jack Leiter as a number three starter, and so he's actually just right on track. I hope that Jack ends up being a great pitcher for us. For me, this entire rant is predicated on the fact that every time Jack Leiter pitches, every time he gets an out, a strikeout, something remotely positive happens, everybody is supposed to feel like he's going to be an ace in a couple more starts. Progress, positive. I'm just like, dude, can we throw up a zero? Can we go four scoreless innings? Is that possible? Can you do that in the major leagues? Right now, the answer is no. Jack Leiter can go four and give up two, but we've yet to see Jack Leiter appear and give up one, give up none. I'm not sold yet. Maybe I'm in the minority. I'm not sold yet. I know I'm not, though, because I see some people in TikTok for sure frustrated with Leiter, frustrated with the overhyping that. I think that's the problem, too. Stop overhyping it. Like, I think it's clear we've done the Leiter hype. It's not the Kumar hype. We don't need to keep hyping every single Leiter appearance. Just let the guy be. I think that would be the best thing for him right now is if people cared a little less every time he started. I mean, I feel like we're trying to get sold like every Leiter start is like a Kumar Rocker start. I think we can all see Kumar Rocker is on a little bit of a different level than Jack Leiter right now. I mean, seriously. So stop trying to sell us like every Leiter appearance is a Rocker appearance. It's not. Just let Leiter pitch, take away the overreactions and the incredibly high expectations that some people still have of him. Just let him pitch and let's see where all of the cards, the chips, whatever you want to call them, fall. But until Leiter comes out and throws up anything remotely close to a zero, I am jury still out on Jack Leiter. Let me keep going to comments. Let me keep going here. I did not see Walcott hitting his first homer in Double A, but I will definitely go and check that out. Good for him. Walcott, one of the top Rangers prospects, just got promoted. Good for him. Anytime you see a Rangers prospect lighting it up, it's a good feeling because the Rangers have not had a ton of prospects over the last 25 years come up and kill it. There's a few. It's not a big list. So I hope that Walcott can come up and be a big-time contributor for us. That would be lovely. Let me keep going here. Garcia, Vortex Vibes, what's up, by the way? Garcia has been doing terrible this year. Dolly tonight, let's read the stat line. 0 for 4 with 2 Ks. They continue to hit him fourth. I really don't get it. I think at this point with Dolly, I think they're just kind of, I don't want to say mailing it in, but it feels like it. Like literally just mailing it in with Dolly in the four cleanup spot. Is there anything that Adolis has done to make you feel confident that he can be the cleanup hitter? Like there's nothing that Dolly has done recently to make me believe that. Dolly has a 161 batting average in his last 15 games. And we continue to trot him out there at cleanup like it's going to keep working. I really don't get it. They had the right idea when they were batting him seventh. They did, y'all. They had the right idea. I know that they want to cling to the past. We all do. We all wish that this was still 2023. It's not. And so I do not know why you continue to back Garcia fourth. I get it. Maybe you don't want to hurt the guy's feelings. I don't know. Again, I would hope that Garcia is not that mentally weak that you can't move him down at this point and tell the guy, dude, you're hitting 161 over your last 15 games. I think we're going to move you down in the order. I don't understand. And these are questions that, again, I wish were asked to Bruce Bochy. Boch, Garcia is hitting 160 over his last 15 games. Why isn't there a potential move? Have you given any thought to making a switch? I personally don't understand why there's been the stubbornness with some of these players. I feel like, I mean, here's an interesting thing that I actually haven't talked about, and I want y'all's feedback on this, so feel free to chime in. I kind of wonder if in the middle of the season, if you guys remember, in July, the Rangers started majorly tweaking the lineup, right? You had Dolly moving down to sixth, seventh. You had Wyatt Langford moving up. There were like a lot, you had Marcus Semien hitting third. Remember how Semien hit third for like 12 or 13 games? I kind of wonder, it's got to be one or the other. I kind of wonder if maybe front office came down and told Bochy, dude, you got to mix it up. I wonder if the front office came in July when the Rangers were just totally scuffling and said, dude, have you thought about moving guys around a little bit? You're hitting Adolis Garcia fourth every single game, and he's doing nothing. Have you thought about moving it around? And I think at some point, Boch just got tired of the new order and said, screw it, I'm going back to the old one. I feel a little bit like Bochy has just been a bit stubborn with letting go of the fact that this is not 2023. I feel like they're trying so hard to hold on to what they had in 2023 that they're continuing to bat Adolis Garcia in the cleanup spot when he's hitting 160. Over his last seven games, dude is hitting 115. It's pathetic. I don't understand it. So I think there must have been some kind of back and forth with the front office, with the analytics department, putting a bug in Bochy's ear. Dude, can we get Semien hitting third? Can we try it? Can we try it? Can we not hit Dolly fourth? Can we move him down to sixth or seventh? I really feel like somebody stepped in and really, really lit a fire under him to do something. And I think he tried it and then basically was like, forget this. I'm going back to the old lineup. I don't care. That's kind of how it came off to me. I didn't really think there was a big reason to switch things. I think Semien hitting third actually is a pretty good choice because you need somebody that can protect Corey Seager when he's healthy. Marcus Semien can do that better than basically anybody on this roster. Regardless of how Semien has played this year, I'd rather have Semien protecting Corey Seager than just about anybody else as currently on the roster. We'll see what happens. But for me, it's disappointing when we have some of these guys who are doing so bad continuing to get prominent roles in the lineup with no changes in sight. Like, it would not surprise me if Adolis hits this poorly the rest of the year and continues to hit fourth literally every single game. I mean, I would almost bet on it. The dude is going to be hitting fourth the rest of the season no matter what. I don't agree with that. If this is really this big experimental month where you're pulling up guys and you're having guys get opportunities, why are you still doing that? I digress. I've gone on long enough about Dolly. Look, love him for what he did in 2023, but baseball and many professional sports, what have you done for me lately? There's not time to give guys passes in this sport, in this league, because they had a great year last year. Adolis had a great year last year. He's having a terrible year this year. It happens. But what can't happen is you continue to cling on to the past, praying and hoping that he becomes the 2023 version, and it never happens. Let me keep going. TikTok, let me see what I missed. Some people trash talking. I see how it is. Astros fans, yawn. Have fun with the either. I'm going to say ALCS exit. I'm going to say have fun with the ALCS exit, and then I'll be extremely happy when y'all lose in the divisional round. Very, very happy. Matt, what's up, man? Statistically, Bochy goes to the World Series every other year. I hope that is true in 2025. I hope Boch is true to the pattern. Every other year we go to the World Series with Bochy. Every other year. Matt says I would be okay if they trade Garcia. I would too. I'm not trying to bank on Dolly bouncing back in 2025. Love him for what he did back in the 2023 run. I'm not banking on Adolis popping in 2025. Look, he is going to have a special place in the heart of all Rangers fans. Dude was a freaking Astros killer. I mean, the most RBI in postseason history. Are you kidding me? Adolis Garcia is a legend for that. It's crazy, though, how quickly your moment in the sun can disappear. And that's what we've seen with Dolly. Quite a few Rangers players. Let me keep going. Next year, Vortex 5 says DeGrom, Evo, Scherzer, Heaney, potentially Rocker, Dunning, Gray. Look, Heaney is a free agent. I don't see the Rangers re-signing Andrew Heaney. Andrew Heaney is probably going to want to go and get that last multi-year deal. He's early 30s. You want to try and get you a three-year, $15 million deal if you can swing it. And if Heaney pitches well these last two or three starts, I don't think there's any reason why he can't get close to 15 mil a year. Forget the record. The ERA is great. I think Andrew Heaney can definitely get something like 3 years, 36 million. And if he's got a good agent, I definitely think he could get something like 3 years, 45 even. I think he has been that good this year. Just for comparison, Montgomery, he got $25 million a year from the Diamondbacks. I know that Monty was on the next level in the playoffs, but I think Andrew Heaney, considering what Monty got for his average annual, I think Andrew Heaney could definitely get 15 mil. I think that definitely could be a realistic possibility for him. So next year, I think it's definitely going to be DeGrom and Rocker. I think unless Rocker just totally soils the bed down the stretch here and into spring training, I think Rocker's going to probably come out as your number two, number three next year. If it's Evo returning, which Evo can return, and I hope he does, I think it's probably more likely than not that we do get Evo back. I think CY and Evo are pretty tight. I would be really surprised if Evo leaves. So let's just assume for the sake of this conversation that the Rangers get Evo back. So you've got DeGrom, Evo, you've got Rocker. You've also got other guys too in the mix, Bradford. You've got Malley as well. I think Dunning and Gray are probably going to be bullpen guys next year. I've said a number of times on my shows, I don't want to see Gray or Dunning start anymore. I think Gray is at the point where he's most effective coming out of the bullpen. The slider that John Gray has can still be incredibly nasty in short stints. I think when you extend John Gray and Dane Dunning out, it usually doesn't go well, and it hasn't the past couple of seasons. Y'all remember 2023, John Gray was on fire coming out of the bullpen. I think that's the play with John Gray. Maybe he becomes that sixth starter. Same thing with Dane. If you need a starter, you know you've got Dane. But I personally don't want to see Dane Dunning or John Gray in the rotation in 2025. I don't want to see it. I've seen it enough. It starts out decent, and then it ends crashing in flames. So I personally would like to see a rotation of DeGrom, Evo, Rocker, Bradford, Malley. You need a sixth starter. You got Gray. Maybe you go get a free agent. That would be ideal for me. Let me keep going here. I see a couple comments on TikTok. Any chance of repeating? Maybe next year in 2025. Not this year. let me keep going here. Carter may end up hitting. Deer Hunter, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. Carter may end up hitting at the top of the order as well. Needs to stay healthy. I do wonder what they're going to do with Carter. I don't know if you've heard this, but from what I've heard on Carter, the plan is to ease him back in, and that might mean he continues to be a platoon guy benched against lefties. I don't think that's the best thing for Evan Carter's long-term development. I think Evan Carter needs to play every single day. If you really want to develop Evan Carter, you got to get that dude playing every day. He played every day in the minors, probably played every day in high school. Dude wasn't getting platooned against lefties at any level. Now you platoon him against the lefties. I understand that there was a track record and there were some stats that were leading them to that decision, but I think it actually kind of stunted his growth as a player. I think you got to let some of these guys, some of these rookies, take the lumps. And you know what? If you were ballsy enough to gamble on Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford carrying the team, don't start platooning Evan Carter at the sign of first trouble. Now, Evan Carter was in a bad way before the injury. I looked up his stats last night. Evan Carter was 0 for 18 before he got injured in his last seven games before the injury. He was 0 for 18. It was not a good season for Evan Carter. And look, the glass half full mentality would be the injury was causing the regression. He was injured. He was playing hurt. And it's what caused the poor performance. I'm willing to go with that. Let's see how he comes out in spring training and, of course, in 2025. But I feel like they're going to probably go with the platoon thing again with him. I hope they change course and just play him every day. But I think they're going to go platoon with Evan Carter again. And it's not going to surprise me if he doesn't fully take off. Until they just take the reins off, dude, we're going to give you 3 months of extended play. Or whatever, 2 months of extended play. Feel comfortable. Just go out there. Don't think too much. Have fun. You're the guy. That's what they need to be telling Evan Carter, in my humble opinion. Doing the platoon thing, dude, you need to be on point against righties. You're going to be our three-hole hitter against righties, and you better be on point because we're benching you against lefties. I think that's actually a little bit more pressure on a player versus the other way around. So I'd like to see Evan at some point next season be an everyday guy, not a guy that they platoon when a lefty's on the hill. But we'll see what they do. I'm going to be interested. Evan Carter's got to get healthy, though. Dude's 22 years old, and he already has back issues. That's not ideal. A 21-year-old with a bunch of back problems. What's Evan Carter going to be like when that dude is in his 40s and 50s? If you're already having back problems this early in the game, that is not good. Feel bad for the guy. I really do mean that. Feel bad for the guy. I really hope this is a one-off thing and he can totally get over the back problems. But I think most of us know once you get back problems, it is hard to fully kick it. Maybe there's something that they can do medically to get him back to 100 where he doesn't always have to worry about that. But back problems are no joke. I hope that he can come into 2025 fully healthy. Let me keep going. Who do I think the Rangers should pick up in free agency? These are questions that we're absolutely going to hash out, just speculating as the season comes to an end. But we're going to be doing a show pretty much, I think, every week in the offseason. I'm still working on the details, but my plan is once a week in the offseason to do a Ride on Rangers Live, Rangers edition, of course, and go through the offseason, talk through if there are any moves that have been made or are maybe in the works. Talk about needs the Rangers have and where they're at in filling those needs. So for me, that's kind of the plan at this point, but I'll keep y'all posted. we won't be going every day. There's not enough content out there in the baseball offseason to get a daily show. But our plan is going to be at least once a week, and we'll do some emergency press conferences as needed. The Rangers make a big signing, a big trade. There's big news in Rangers Nation. We'll hop on the live and talk it out. But otherwise, we're going to plan on doing a weekly show in the offseason. But back to your question, I really do think that the Rangers need to prioritize a few different positions. Offensively, they need to prioritize outfielders. You cannot go into 2025, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, Adolis Garcia, and expect to get crazy different results. For me, I'm banking on Wyatt Langford improving, but I'm still not like, okay, this dude is bona fide three-hole hitter and he's going to be our entire offense. I'm not saying that about Wyatt Langford. I'm banking on Adolis Garcia being maybe a little bit better in 2025, but still not great. So I want an outfielder that can actually compete for playing time, not a Jankowski, although I love El Blondi, and those of y'all that have been with me for a while know this, love El Blondi. But we need somebody to be signed that is going to push guys like Evan Carter, Adolis Garcia. I think Wyatt is going to get everyday playing time regardless. He's, I think, showed it, earned it this year. But there needs to be somebody that can push Adolis Garcia. This year was kind of an awkward year where he was such a hero last year that it's like you kind of had to just ride it out with him, I feel like. Personally, I would have ripped the Band-Aid. Dude, you're hitting seventh or eighth. You stink this year. You're hitting 111 or 160 in your past 15 games. We're benching you. We're moving you down in the order. You've got to figure it out and start producing. I think they should have ripped the Band-Aid off a lot sooner when it came to Adolis Garcia. They really hung on to hope that he was going to figure it out, and he never did. You can't make that same mistake twice. You cannot make the mistake of counting on Adolis to rebound. If he does, outstanding. If he does, outstanding. Then you have a surplus at outfield, and that's a great problem to have. Don't count on it. Last year, you counted on Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford being middle-of-the-order producers. It didn't work. You counted on Doley being Doley. It didn't work out. Don't make the same mistake again. So outfield and a legitimate guy that can compete. And, Dear Hunter, I'm seeing on TikTok your comment here. If the Rangers are linked to Santander, I say 1,000,000% go get Santander. I'm a big Anthony Santander fan. Love watching him play the game. Look, Orioles are my pick to go for the whole way in the AL to go get it. I don't know if they're going to win the World Series, but I think the O's are going to be on one after what happened to them against the Rangers, getting embarrassed in a three-game sweep by a wild card team. I think the O's are going to come with some fire. They've got a lot of offense. They've got some good pitchers. I think Santander would be a huge pickup for the Rangers. Santander, if we could get him, that is a game changer for this offense. Santander is going to be expensive. That is the only issue with Santander. I mean, we can talk about these guys all day long. Santander is, what, 40-plus homer guy this year? I'm almost 100%. He's maybe going to get to 50. Santander, his numbers this year, hopefully I can get him up real quick for y'all on the fly. Sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. Dude has 41 bombs this year, 95 RBI, 240 batting average. Look, Santander, I think, is a pretty good hitter. The average, would you love for it to be a little bit higher? Sure. But 41 bombs and 95 RBI, that plays. And look, what impresses me about Santander, the strikeouts right now are at 122. So, look, he's a guy up to this point striking out less than once a game. So he puts the ball in play. That's a problem that the Rangers have this year, putting the ball in play. So Santander, I like almost everything about him. I think he plays a pretty decent outfield. Adolis Garcia is at 162 strikeouts this year. Santander's at 122. Doley's at 75 RBI, 22 bombs. 216 batting average is just a killer. I would love for the Rangers to go get Santander. Hope that it happens. The other positions that need filling. Rangers have to figure out what they're going to do with Nate Lowe at first base. They have got to figure out, what are we doing with Nate Lowe? Nate Lowe is a gold glove first baseman. He has raw power. And in spurts, Nate Lowe absolutely can get hot and can be a great hitter in this league, but it just hasn't been consistent enough. Nate Lowe, has he even hit 15 home runs this year? Is it at 15 yet for Nate Lowe? He was 1-for-4 tonight, by the way. He's at 13 homers. I'm sorry. I'm old school. I want my first baseman hitting for power. I've got to have my first baseman hitting for power. The numbers aren't terrible for Nate Lowe. 270 ERA, 365 OBP. But I want more out of my first baseman when it comes to offense. I personally don't think that Nate Lowe needs to be a 162-game guy. I would love to see the Rangers go out and get a first baseman. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if there's anybody even that's going to be able to really replace Nate Lowe at a significant level or rate, if you will. So, like, who's out there, right? I mean, Alonso, but Alonso, I think, is a pipe dream. He wants to stay in New York, and if he's not going to stay in New York, Scott Boras is going to drive up his price. Scott Boras, you know, at this point, wants to get back that record for biggest contract. Right now, I don't think he has it. I think it went to Ohtani's group. So they judge those things, by the way, not based on the total number, but, like, you know, considering the fact that Ohtani deferred so much money, they calculated a little bit differently. But I think Ohtani still got the record, and his agent got the record for biggest contract ever. Excuse me. So I think Boras is going to be out there with a vengeance this offseason, trying to get guys paid. It was a little embarrassing for Boras with Monty, with Bellinger, with Chapman. Look, some of those guys ended up working out just fine, but it felt a little embarrassing for Boras. I feel like he's going to come back and he is going to want to get guys paid in the offseason. And I just think Alonso is going to be way too far out of our range. Now, what I will try and do on the fly here is look up on SpoTrack who's available in the first baseman department that would be affordable for the Rangers. That's a big thing, right? I mean, we can dream Alonso. Yeah, that would be awesome. Be freaking sweet if we could get Pete Alonso. But I'm not holding my breath on that. So let's see. Paul Goldschmidt, unrestricted free agent, 37 years old. Look, Goldie's having a down year. I think that the Rangers could maybe consider a guy like that. Anthony Rizzo is a free agent, although there is a club option at $17 million a year. Man, I wonder if the Yankees are going to give Rizzo that deal. Would you give Anthony Rizzo $17 million a year? Look, I like Rizzo. It's no offense to the guy, but I don't know if I'm giving Rizzo $17 million a year. Josh Bell is an unrestricted free agent. Christian Walker, that could be a guy. Walker is 33 years old for the Diamondbacks. Walker is an unrestricted free agent. That could be a name right there. I think Walker is still going to be fairly expensive, but that could be a name to look out for. Do we maybe go get a Christian Walker? You got Alonso getting all the headlines right now. I think a Christian Walker would be a nice pickup for the Rangers at the first base position. Beyond that, it's not awesome, guys. It's not awesome. You've got Joey Gallo. Hey, Joey. Big Joey Gallo, 30 years old. He's going to be a free agent. I'm just kidding. Although I do love Joey Gallo. Love Joey Gallo. I feel awful for him and just how crazy his decline has been since he left the Rangers. But there you go, Joey Gallo. Joseph Nicholas Gallo, first baseman for the Rangers, 2025. Look, it's not going to happen. I think Joey, I wonder if he's going to get another contract. I wonder if he's going to get another contract. I don't know. Is there somebody that's willing to take another flyer on Joey Gallo? I feel bad for him because Joey's at 8 years right now, 8 years of experience. And I think a lot of y'all know 10 years is like the penultimate for major leaguers when you unlock the full bennies. So for me, I really hope Joey can latch on somewhere and get to 10 years and then ride off into the sunset, go back to Vegas or wherever the family is, and enjoy the rest of his life. But Joey right now, I hope he can manage and find a way to get to 10 years. Big league experience. Don't know what he's doing this year. I feel like he's been hurt a lot. But that's about the rundown, y'all. Goldschmidt, Alonso, Rizzo, Bell, Walker. you have some other guys, Wilmer Flores, Carlos Santana, Ryan O'Hearn, Rowdy Tellez, Yulieski Gurriel. I mean, Yuli Gurriel is 40 years old. I don't think that he's going to be a guy the Rangers look at. Look, Rowdy Tellez, he's got some pop. But you kind of want a right-hander at this point. You kind of want a righty up there. That's why I like Christian Walker. So if you do keep Nate Lowe, you have Christian Walker in tow. That could be an interesting thing. And you can have Walker DH, perhaps, if you want Nate Lowe playing first base. I'm just spitballing here. Just spitballing. Who has an opt-out with the Brewers? Sorry, let me catch up here. Rhys Hoskins. If he has an opt-out with the Brewers, there you go. I could get on board with the Hoskins type. Look, I'm just old school, guys. 13 home runs from Nate Lowe is just unacceptable. I want my first baseman with some power. Walker, Hoskins, Alonso, Rizzo, I think, still has some pop. All those guys fit that mold. I love Nate Lowe. If there's a way we could keep him on as a lefty, first baseman, kind of off the bench, playing every few days, that would be great. I don't know if it's going to be able to happen. I don't really know how smart it is to carry two first basemen anyways. It's not like Christian Walker can play a different position. Neither can Nate Lowe. So I really don't know if that's even a wise move. If you're going to go out and get a first baseman, you probably ought to trade Nate Lowe, see what you can get from him. But for me, I'm ready for the Rangers to move on to somebody else. I think we know what we're getting with Nate Lowe. You're going to get about 70 RBI. You're going to get a decent average. You're going to get about 15 to 20 home runs, and that's the ceiling. And I think the Rangers could do better. Now, in the outfield, we had Santander thrown out there. Juan Soto, I'm not even considering Juan. I think Bellinger is probably going to stay with the Cubs, although he could technically opt out. Teoscar Hernandez with the Dodgers right now, he's an unrestricted. Michael Conforto, a guy that I actually wanted the Rangers to sign. I wanted them to sign Conforto in the 2024 offseason. I don't know how Conforto's doing this year. I'll look up his stats real quick. But Conforto was a guy I thought would have been a solid signing for the Rangers last offseason. But again, we were counting on Evan Carter, Wyatt Langford, and Dolley to be big-time contributors. So be it. But Conforto, not having a great year. 227 average, 56 RBI, 16 homers. So Conforto probably would not be super high on my list for outfielders. Vortex Vibe says we need Garver. Look, Garv Sauce is having a bad year in Seattle. Maybe coming back to the Rangers is just what the guy needs, but Garv Sauce is having a bad year in Seattle right now. It would not be a guy that I would want to go out and get. Nothing personal, nothing against him, but I think Mitch Garver has had his day. And I do not think that that day is going to continue on into 2025. A few other guys here. So Haniger for Seattle has a player option at $17.5 million. I would probably think Mitch Haniger is going to be taking that deal, opting in for $17.5. Mark Canna, outfielder, that could be an interesting move, 35 years old. Kind of just one of those solid ball players, like nothing flashy, but just solid ball player. We talk Santander. Harrison Bader is another guy who's a free agent. Probably wouldn't be super high on that. Alex Verdugo, he's been having a rough year with the Yankees. Wouldn't want us going after Verdugo. Max Kepler is a free agent. I think Kepler is an interesting player. Maybe you have Kepler. I think a guy that's possible, he could hit 275, 300, a lefty outfielder. Look, maybe a guy that you can platoon with Adolis here and there. I just think Max Kepler is a really solid player. I've always been high on Max. And obviously not going to be all-star, hitting bombs all over the yard, but just always have thought highly of Max Kepler. This year, by the way, kept hitting 253. He's got, 42 RBI. Only has struck out 80 times on the year. You could probably get a guy like Kep pretty cheap. Look, I don't think we're going to be in on Juan Soto. I wish, but if we could get a guy like Santander, I think that would be phenomenal. Even if we can get a guy like Mark Canna or even a Max Kepler type, just solid guys that can actually be everyday dudes. not guys that are like legitimate for sure bench players that we have to end up throwing in there in the mix every day because of injuries. So that's outfield. Now, the catcher position is another interesting one. Jonah Heim is arbitration eligible. So they could drop Jonah Heim. They could just straight up release Jonah Heim, and that would be well within the possibilities with how bad he's been this year. I don't think that they're going to drop Jonah Heim, and maybe it would be a little knee-jerk to do so. I do think with how bad he's been both defensively, throwing out base runners, and offensively, that wouldn't be totally out of left field. Now, four catchers, free agents in the offseason. You've got McCann. Right now, he's playing with Baltimore. James McCann. You have Travis d'Arnaud, 36 years old. He's got a, looks like the Braves have a club option on him. Max Stassi, White Sox have a club option on him, $7.5 million. Danny Jansen, unrestricted free agent. He's playing with Boston. Danny Jansen could be an interesting sign, I think, at the catcher position. If you want a guy like Danny Jansen, you're getting a guy that's pretty decent behind the plate and can swing a solid bat. I think if you can't get Kelly back, Jansen could be the next best thing that you go after. So I'm pretty high on Danny Jansen. I don't know that he's having a great year this year, but guys, let's be honest. There's a lot of catchers that don't have gaudy stats right now. There's so many catchers that do not have super gaudy stats. So let's just see how Danny Jansen has done this year. If there is a good optimistic outlook for 2025, looks like Danny Jansen is not hitting super well this year. Although I'm pretty surprised. I think last year he actually had a pretty good season. This year is rough, low 200s. Yeah, not pretty. I don't think there's a whole lot out there, guys, at the catching position. I'd like to see them re-sign Kelly. Now, Danny Jansen, let's go back to 2023. He hit 228. In 2022, he hit 260. That's his career high. I don't know. It's going to be slim pickings at the catching position. It just is. You got Hedgie. You could re-sign Hedgie, but that offense is just woof terrible. I don't know if I want Hedgie back. Let's see who else. Austin Barnes, Yasmani Grandal, Higashioka, Stallings, Casale, Diaz from San Diego. Look, I don't know, guys. It's pretty slim pickings at the catcher position. Yeah, Rangers fans, it's true. Very spoiled. Deer Hunter, that's a great comment. We did get spoiled with Pudge. Look, you're not going to get super gaudy stats from your catcher. I think if you can get Carson Kelly back, take that all day long. Take that all day long. Carson Kelly having him back would be phenomenal. I think that Jonah Heim needs to be a guy at this point that maybe plays every third day. I'd much rather them re-sign Kelly, have him be the starter coming out the gate. The only thing that bothers me about Kelly is I don't feel awesome about him behind the dish. He, like Heim, has allowed a lot of base stealers. The Rangers have to fix the base stealing problem on both sides of the ball. Offense and defense, terrible when it comes to base stealing. We're basically allowing guys to run from second to third at will, from first to second at will. Jonah Heim has thrown out like three base runners in his last 40-something attempts. It's terrible. The Rangers have to figure out and they have to get a grip on this stolen base situation. They've got to find guys that can steal them, and they've got to find guys that can throw them out. It was bad this year. Seriously bad this year. Matt, Jankowski moving him up in the lineup. Right now, I don't know if Jankowski is even in the long-term plan, so I don't know how apt they are. A guy that I'm a little surprised hasn't played yet is a guy down in AAA named Dustin Harris. I'm really surprised they haven't called him up. You would think they'd probably want a guy like Dustin Harris getting reps over Jankowski. I love El Blondi. Don't get me wrong. Love the dude. He hasn't been that good this year. He had the incredibly amazing catch in Chicago, and he's had some bright spots here and there. But let's be real. Travis Jankowski's had a rough 2024 up at the plate. I'm not a super huge fan of giving him more playing time. If anything, I would much rather them call up Dustin Harris and get that dude having some reps, getting some experience. I think that would be the best move at this point in the outfield. All right, let's keep going here. Hey, Texas Rangers fans only, thanks for showing up. Hey, no worries. We're still here. Rain or shine, bad loss or incredible win. You know the drill. We're just talking free agents, by the way. We went through catchers, first baseman, outfield. We're going to lock into tomorrow's matchup. We got Andrew Heaney on the bump. If y'all want to talk anything else from the game today, more than happy to do it. You want to talk free agent stuff, we can revisit. Let's at least stop and let's talk tomorrow's game, Andrew Heaney. And Heaney has been very, very solid for the Rangers of late. Probably one of the guys I think that most fans at this point are relying on and counting on the most to go out and have a great outing. So we've got Andrew Heaney going up against George Kirby. I was actually really impressed, by the way, how well the Rangers hit Logan Gilbert. Logan Gilbert has been really, really good against Texas. And I was very pleasantly surprised with how well the Rangers strung together at bats and hits against Gilbert today. George Kirby, a 3.77 ERA pitcher, 11-11 on the season. Looks like Ezekiel Duran is 5-9 against Kirby in his career. Maybe we see Zeke tomorrow. Looks like Jonah Heim is 2.67 average and 15 ABs. Wyatt Langford's 1-3. Nate Lowe is 5-18 in his career. Marcus Semien does have a home run against George Kirby, but is like 2-18. Josh Smith is 3-8 in his career versus George Kirby, the probable starter for the Mariners tomorrow. And Leody Taveras is 1-11. Maybe it's an off day time for Leody. On the flip side, against Andrew Heaney, a Rosarina 1.43 average. You have Crawford 2.86 average. Garver, who has a home run off Andrew Heaney, but is only hitting 200, 1-5. Mitch Haniger has a 3.21 lifetime batting average against Heaney. That could be interesting. Maybe a guy to circle, a guy to look out for tomorrow, Mitch Haniger. Looks like Robles is 2-4 in his career. Julio is, I believe, 3-13. Rojas is 1-2. Justin Turner, 2.31 average. Urias, 200 average. So I think Andrew Heaney's actually pitched pretty well against the Mariners. Watch out for Mitch Haniger, 3 bombs against you, 3.21 average. Everybody else, I think Andrew Heaney has locked down pretty well. So we're going to see what happens in tomorrow's game. I'm hopeful that the Rangers can get a split. The offense actually hasn't felt terrible this series. I feel like we've actually strung together some innings where we put together some multi-run, but I really feel like tomorrow could be a nice day to break out, give the bullpen a little bit of a breather. We'll see what happens. But the Rangers looking to salvage a win in the series and get a series split. That's the plan. Let me keep going here. Here's a question I wanted to throw your guys' way. I don't think I actually know this. It says, do the Rangers have a young catcher that they're high on in the minors? Wouldn't that have to be the guy that they just drafted in the first round? I mean, that's got to be the guy that they're probably feeling the highest on at the catcher position in the minors, right? Whoever, and it's eluding me right now, guys, late night, my bad. But whoever the Rangers drafted, it wasn't in the first round, was it? Maybe it was. Like I said, I'm getting a little bit loopy here late at night, but I think the Rangers are probably going to have that guy rated at the top of the list in terms of catchers. I mean, I don't think Sam Huff is up there. I mean, at one point maybe he was, but I don't think so. I think Malcolm Moore has probably got to be the guy, though, that they're most high on for catchers in the organization, and they just drafted him literally, what, a couple of months ago? So that's got to be the guy. I hope that helps. Hope that answers it. Let me see. I got a few other comments over here. Prior to Leody's home run today, Gilbert had not given up a run against us in a couple starts. So we had a home run from Leody. Simi hit a home run today as well. Gilbert is their Heaney, 7-11, but could easily be 15-5 or so. Agreed. I was actually, like I said, really impressed that the Rangers were able to get to Gilbert today. I hope they can do it to Kirby tomorrow, get a split, and then move on from this series. By the way, upcoming, we'll give you a couple of rundowns on who the Rangers are going to be facing over the next week or so. The last homestand, I believe, starts on the 17th. I think the Rangers have an off day on Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Looks like that is accurate. Rangers off day on Monday, but Tuesday they open up a series at home with the Blue Jays And they will, I think, have DeGrom and Rocker pitching in that homestand. So Texas Rangers Nation, get out. Go see Kumar Rocker and Jacob DeGrom for the last time. Otherwise, the Rangers are heading on the road. And they are going to be, after this little series with the Blue Jays, Friday night. Looks like, they have the Mariners. My bad. It's Blue Jays and Mariners. And those are the last couple of homestands. Because then on Tuesday, the 23rd, the Rangers will go to Oakland. And the following series after that, the Rangers will play their final series of the year out in LA against the Angels. So that's how it shakes out to end. You've got Blue Jays, you got Mariners, you got the Oakland A's, and you got the Angels. And that's how it shakes out the rest of the way. So tomorrow, Heen Dog, can we get Heen Dog another dub after all the painful losses he's had to take this year? I think it's the least the Rangers could do for the guy. One of the most poorly supported pitchers in terms of runs scored in the major leagues this year. Let's hope that the Rangers bats can bring it tomorrow. I sure would like to see that. Rangers tonight, by the way, just to put a complete bow on the game for tonight, there were some opportunities with runners in scoring position. There were some guys left on base in this one. We didn't quite go through all those numbers, but here they are. And then we're going to start calling it a night here, unless y'all got more stuff you want to talk about. The Rangers, 4 left on base, 0 for 3 with runners in scoring position. Adolis Garcia, 2 runners left in scoring position with 2 outs. Ezekiel Duran left a man in scoring position with 2 outs. Look, we went hard on Dolly early in the show. I'm not trying to open up that can of worms again, but I hope that my point is well made and well taken. I don't know that they're going to be dropping Adolis Garcia in the lineup the rest of the way, but they surely could. They surely could. Yeah, I kind of thought that too. I mean, I don't think Huff is a long-term guy, and I feel like they drafted the catcher first round for a reason, right? I mean, you drafted him for a reason. So I think if you really feel good about all of your catchers, you're not drafting Malcolm Moore out of Stanford in your first round pick. You're not drafting a catcher if you feel great about the guys that you have in the system. So I hope Malcolm Moore can be a guy that we can have coming up. I said to y'all at the time, I thought it was interesting that the Rangers took a catcher in the first round. I thought it was a message to Jonah Heim and just a message really about what they think about Heim. If Jonah Heim was really a guy that they were thinking was going to be a long-term piece, why would you draft a catcher in the first round? I don't think there's a great reason for it. It's a Gold Glove all-star catcher in Jonah Heim. So clearly, CY and company saw some troubling signs early, and they decided we got to get a catcher for the future here. So I'm excited about Malcolm Moore. Don't know how quickly he's going to come up through the ranks, but that would be nice. That would be nice. Beyond that, to go back to the free agent question, they are going to have to retool in the bullpen a little bit. David Robertson has the mutual option. So we'll see if Robertson and the Rangers agree and they run it back in 2025. Yates is a guy who is going to be probably looking to get some money in the offseason after the outstanding year he's had. The Rangers are going to have to retool the bullpen a little bit. That's another reason why I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like Gray or Dunning just be bullpen guys next year. It kind of saves you a little bit of trouble. I still think you got to go out and make some moves. But if you have Gray and Dunning out in the pen, 2 less spots that you have to go try and find in free agency and hope that you're getting somebody that's going to be at least somewhat of the guy that they were in the several years past or prior. It's hard with the bullpen pieces, it is. So we'll see what the Rangers do. I don't expect them to add really anybody starting pitching-wise beyond maybe a 1-year guy like a Mike Lorenzen type. Not saying they're going to go out and get Lorenzen again. I mean, they could. He is a free agent at the end of the season. But that's my take. I don't think starting pitching is going to be the priority. They'll probably retool the bullpen, look to add a little bit of depth offensively. I'd love to see them go out and get a guy that can compete for outfield time. I would love to see them add a first baseman with pop, somebody that can drive the ball better than Nate Lowe's been able to the past couple of years. And then I'd like to see them either re-sign Carson Kelly or go out and get another veteran presence that can push Jonah Heim and challenge him for playing time. And that's the plan. Does Wynn figure into the bullpen? I'm not high on Cole Winn. I'm not high on him. I know some people are. I'm not real high on guys like Cole Winn, Owen White. I think we've seen them, not maybe a huge sample size, but I just can't say I'm super high on those guys. I don't know if Cole Winn is going to get a bullpen shot. Texas Rangers fans only, if you're still hanging out, do you know what they're going to do with Winn for next year, or at least what they're thinking about for Winn? I personally would not love seeing him be a prominent bullpen piece. That's just me. I think Cole Winn probably needs a little bit more time. A guy that I'm wondering about too is Jacob Latz. I'm not sure. We haven't really heard about Latz a lot lately. I wonder what's going on with him. Is he in the minors right now? I haven't heard a whole lot else. 1 month ago, the only news on him I'm seeing is they put him on the IL. I know he was making some rehab appearances. Actually, the one rehab appearance with Latz that I did see looked like he got absolutely lit up. But I can imagine Latz would probably be a guy that they would look to get back involved in the pen next year. We'll see. Latz is at AA Frisco. That's what the last time I saw him. And the last box score I saw, it was not pretty. So I'm personally really not holding my breath on Latz, but you figure they've got Chafin if they want him. They've got Pennington. Do you want to have that third lefty? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think they're going to have to make a decision on that. I don't know if you need three lefties or not in your bullpen. So Texas Rangers fans only says he's not been doing great, but he's still making rehab appearances. Got you. By the way, Texas Rangers fans only, great group on Facebook. I know not everybody has Facebook, but they also do all the other socials as well. I've loved being a part of that community. Highly would recommend it. So if you're looking for a great place for Rangers news, discussion, absolutely check out Texas Rangers fans only. Appreciate you guys. So look, they say don't know any more about Winn than I do. I think Cole Winn is going to get a spring training opportunity, and they're going to watch him closely and see if maybe in the offseason he's upped his game a little bit. I can imagine they'll give him an invite. They'll throw him out there, and they'll see how he does. And then we'll see what happens. We'll see who else they added. We'll see if he pitches well enough to get into the rotation. So that's pretty much, I think, almost a foregone conclusion, unless Winn is just doing so terrible at the end of this year and into the offseason, if he does any winter ball or anything like that. Unless he is just bad, I can't imagine they're not going to give him a spring training invite and at least see if he could maybe be a piece at some point this year. But the Rangers, I think, need to go out and get some free agents like they did this year in the pen. Now, if I go through the relief pitchers, prominent relief pitchers that are free agents. So some of the closers jump off. You got Kenley Jansen. Ryan Pressly's a free agent. Looks like he's got like a vested option like Evo, though. Craig Kimbrell's got a club option on his deal. Ross Stripling, unrestricted free agent. David Robertson is a mutual $7 million deal with the Rangers if they both agree to that. Aroldis Chapman is a free agent. Daniel Bard is a free agent. We've got Matt Moore, a free agent. Joe Kelly is a free agent. Blake Treinen is a free agent. Paul Sewald is a free agent. Paul Sewald. Man, it feels like Corey Seager kind of broke him, but I feel like Paul Sewald actually could be a really good bounce back story next year with a new team. So look, Kendall Graveman, another guy that's a free agent. Look, there are some guys out there. There's definitely some guys out there. AJ Minter is a free agent. Look, I would maybe be interested in dumping Chafin. Go out and get AJ Minter. I really like AJ. Pitched for the Braves for a while. Look, there are some guys out there that you could go and get. It's really just going to depend on how things shake out with some of the guys they already have. If some of them are willing to stick around, maybe not take quite as much to go somewhere else. We'll see what happens. We shall see. All right, y'all, let me keep going with comments, but we're going to wind things down here. Carson Coleman returning hurts Winn's chances because it's one more 40-man spot, but really Winn is competing with White and all those guys right now to fill one bullpen spot in the 40-man. Yeah, I kind of exactly as I predicted it. I think he's going to get some opportunities, probably get a spring training invite, but it's a little crowded, basically, is what we're trying to say here. It's a little crowded in the bullpen right now in terms of minor league guys. Look, you could go out and get all the amazing free agents that you want, but it's a little crowded right now in terms of minor league guys. So we'll see what happens. I think based on the guys I named off, there are some dudes that I would love for the Rangers to go out and pursue in terms of relief pitchers. We'll see what actually ends up happening. All right, guys, I'm going to call it a night. It has been fun. I went double time today with Texas Longhorns post game and then with Texas Rangers post game. I love it, but it's about that time. I'm hoping that the Rangers can make the day a little bit better tomorrow. We're going to be going at right after the game, most likely. I think the Cowboys play early tomorrow. So I know some of y'all caught me at the beginning of the show. We do Dallas Cowboys post game, Texas Longhorns post game, Rangers post game. We'll do some Dallas Mavericks post-game stuff. Looks like 12 o'clock Texas time start for the Cowboys tomorrow. So the Rangers, I think, start a little bit after that. They start, actually at 3:10 Texas time. So that's perfect. You watch a little Cowboys at 12, and then you turn on Rangers right after the game's over. Your day's set. Your day is set. So I'll be going live probably after the Cowboys game, which will be right around, 3 o'clock Texas time. And then I'll be going live after the Rangers game, probably, 5, 6 o'clock Texas time. So come by for both. Come by for one. I would greatly appreciate it, y'all. Means a lot. If you're not following, you're not subscribed to the channel, please hit that follow or subscribe button. If you know someone that loves the Rangers, loves Dallas-Fort Worth sports in general, the Cowboys, the Mavericks, also cover the Texas Longhorns, send them my way. Let's keep growing this good group of people we got talking baseball, talking Rangers baseball, talking sports in general. I love it. Appreciate you guys. Have a great rest of your Saturday night, whatever's left of it. And I hope you have a great Sunday ahead. Hope to catch you on one of the lives tomorrow or on the replay. And as I always say to end every show, God bless and go Rangers.